Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moons, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And verse 36, be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. When Elijah had gone through this super spiritual experience, he comes down into the valley, literally. He's drained, he's exhausted, and he flees. Somehow he had forgotten that the God who trounced Baal is perfectly able to look after one of his prophets. It's a complete breakdown, and he loses contact with God. And when God comes to him and sends the angel, he deals with the physical first. He's given bread and water, allowed to sleep and rest, and then the spiritual challenge. And God doesn't come as expected. He doesn't come. I remember Robert preaching. I'm a bit wary of preaching on the earthquake, wind and fire. Because if you remember when Robert preached, we had a rushing mighty wind, we had a big fire in Stamford, and then we had an earthquake. So I said to Robert, next time you're going to preach on the flood, give us a month's warning. So here is the great prophet who loses contact with God. When I was in America, it was only 18 months since I was last there, and I noticed one very big difference, and that is that absolutely everybody, everywhere except me, is on the phone. Even if they're walking along with friends, they're all on the phone to someone else. I looked around the hotel lobby. There were about 20 people there, all on the phone. And it seems that they're losing that personal touch, even if someone's... You're never really someone with someone who's got a phone in their hand, are you? And meetings have changed as well. Carrie had to have or hold several meetings while I was there. And what happened is not that she went out to them and not that they came to her, but they all happened on the internet. And it's a program called Zoom.com, which we shall not be using, because you might all stay in bed and just switch the computer on one day and see what's happening. And everybody's face appears who is at the meeting. And when you speak, it lights up. I did wonder if I was involved in this, whether it would switch to Nico when he barked. But anyway, it knows who's speaking and lights up. And it works. I mean, it means Carrie didn't have to go to Florida and didn't have to go to Canada to speak to people. But it's not the same as the... I know you don't get the chance to plot against the chairman, as you do in some meetings. But nevertheless, you lose that contact of talking face-to-face with people. Everyone can speak, but everybody else knows exactly what's being said, which is not always what we want. And from time to time, when these meetings were taking place, the message would come across the center of the screen, your internet connection is insecure. And it made me think, are we keeping in contact with God all the time? And to keep in contact with God in the 21st century is not easy. Firstly, we need to get our approach right. If you're on the computer, you have to get the right computer, you have to load the right program, you have to switch it on, probably switch it off and switch it on again to make it work. And for us as Christians, if we're approaching God, we need to clear the decks and not be distracted. I am aware that if I were talking to the Queen, I would not be putting my makeup on or loading the dishwasher or feeding the dog or doing a bit of planting in the garden. I would be concentrating. How can we not give as much attention to God? And I recently read an account, it was David and Derek and Diane Tidball's book on women in the Bible, which is a wonderful book. And it talks about ladies going to a prayer meeting, and they, before they started praying, they got very worried because they'd read that bit about ladies should have their heads covered. But they didn't have any hats and they didn't have any scarves. So they ended up praying with cushions on their heads. I mean, I got this vision then of the angels going, oh, have you seen this lot? Come on, Gabriel, have a look at these. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in getting the approach right that we forget God is greater than that. And we're approaching a heavenly king who is also a loving father. I think one of the most tragic bits in the king's speech, the film, is that when the king comes back from the accession council where he's accepted the role of king, he's greeted by the two princesses and they curtsy and say, Your Majesty. How heartbreaking for a father that suddenly there's this great barrier put in place. And we don't have any barriers in our approach to God. We come to a loving father. And having made contact, we need to keep the power going. We need to read. We need to study the Bible. We need to pray regularly. Martin Lloyd-Jones, this advice would not go down well in the 21st century, said he wrote a book on preachers and preaching, and he said you must lock yourself in your study every morning and you must dwell on the word and let your wife deal with the phone calls and the problems. We'll be considering Keith at the church meeting. C.S. Lewis said it's so much easier to pray on hard days than it is on joyful ones. And Brother Lawrence said, pray always, everywhere. And I think that's very difficult in the 21st century because so much of the world impedes on us. If a pilot is taking off or landing, I do not want to know that he's having his quiet time. I hope he's concentrating on the instruments and what happens. Little bit of concern that the alarm went off under my feet, but we seem to be all right. And one of my favourite Peanuts cartoons is where this disastrous baseball team, Lucy actually gets a sitting catch and she drops it. And her defence is, I was having my quiet time. But having made contact, we need to work at keeping that contact with God day by day. And we need to keep the contact. We need to wait long enough to listen as well as the chance to speak. If I go to the supermarket with a list, I don't go round and make sure that everything is on the shelves. I actually take them off the shelves and I go and buy them. And there is that waiting, not just the planning and the talking and knowing what you want, but waiting for a response. Stillness and silence are as much of prayer as of the asking for things and discussing things with God. And it's rather being taken over by the world in what they call mindfulness now. I mean, I go to a Christian meditation group, and it's wonderful. We don't say anything. We have a few words to set our thoughts going. But I miss that half hour of silent prayer when we don't have it. We need to keep the contact, and we need to remember what a wonderful Saviour we have. These are some words of John Bell. I used to think that because Jesus had 12 male disciples, Christianity was really a man's world, until I realised that there are as many women disciples indicated in the Gospel as men, and that women, the Canaanite woman, Mary of Magdala, were the first evangelists long before the church even got round to thinking about ordaining men. I used to think, because I was fascinated by liberation theology, that Jesus was exclusively the saviour of the poor, until I noticed that in people like Matthew and Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, Joanna, Susanna, and Simon the Pharisee, he was also a friend of the rich. I used to think that Jesus was the Lord and guardian of the church, until I realised that on every occasion in the Gospels, when he is in religious precincts, he upsets people and is confronted by fierce opposition. I used to think that Jesus knew it all, until I realized how many of his stories depended on listening to the experiences of women in the kitchen and men in the field, so that he could talk to other women in their kitchens and men in their fields. I used to think that Jesus was impassive, cool, always in control, until I realized that when his friend died, he not only wept openly, but was deeply angry that such a thing should have happened. I used to think that Jesus left a great legacy, until I realized he left no books, no mementos, no positions, that his only legacy, that is his risky, fallible, flawed, unreliable legacy, which he even still trusts, is you and I, his body in the world. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.